It is a brand new month, the month of August, the second day of August, as a matter of fact. Time once again here on CCO to talk a little cars, your truck, your van, and the problems you may be having with those vehicles, and you need to take them in for service, but you might want to know what the heck you could be facing. There's a chance for you to get a little information. Nick Stauffel, ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, will do that magic analysis over the radio. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's these days?
We're very busy. You know, at the heat this summer has definitely done its toll on cars and air conditioning and all that. And, you know, I think we're all enjoying these few days where it's been a little more reasonable in the temperature category.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we were just hearing Al's news about that smoke. Areas of smoke we're going to have dealing with this probably until maybe Monday morning, as a matter of fact. But we'll keep everybody posted. I want to invite our listeners to join in. I know our time is so limited, it goes by so quickly, and folks want to get in and ask you a question either by phone or by text. If you have any kind of a car care question, any kind, you can call us or text us. And as I said, sooner rather than later, because Nick takes his leave about 7:45. So call or text 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You know, I was thinking earlier before you came on, Nick, that we talk about Lloyd's there on Grand Avenue. But you yourself and have another crew at another location. I don't mention that often. Now, where is that that store, as we say, shop?
We do have two locations. The name of that other place is Parkway Auto Care, which is also in St. Paul. It's on the corner of Ford Parkway and Snelling. And I actually this last past week I was there working the counter, and it's funny when you know, as you know, I did that for 20 plus years. When you get out of it for just a couple of years and you try to go do it again, luckily enough, everybody was patient with me and understood that I was a bit out of my element. But we made it, and we had a good week, and I'm happy to say that we have two great locations and two great crews. I couldn't be a luckier guy having the people I have working with me.
You know, you're right about that. I don't. You were busy at the other place, but I needed to get my vehicle serviced, basically an oil change. And I went down, as usual, the block, grabbed a cup of coffee, and kind of came back and just sat and watched. And you do have a great crew. I hadn't planned on talking about this, but customers coming in left and right, and your people handle them with such ease. And everybody's so pleasant, you know, because a lot of people, let's face it, sometimes car repair can be quite costly and put a big dent in your budget. So you kind of walk in sometimes with some shops with some trepidation saying, oh, what am I facing here? But you are fortunate, and and your customers are fortunate to have good people. But it was fun watching all the busy bees running around. 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, and let's get back to it, how much can you really save, this is a good question, by using that eco mode you see in some cars? You can push that button, the eco. What does it mean, and does it work?
You know, I'm not sure how much it does save, but I believe it does. You know, when the manufacturers go through the programming and you use the eco or the sport or other type of modes your vehicle might have, it kind of changes the strategy of maybe the timing, which is how the efficiency of the engine, the transmission shift points, maybe try to give it a little more of a sportier feel or a higher revving before it switches gears. But I couldn't tell you how to even measure. I mean, I suppose you could try running a tank of fuel with the regular mode and try your eco mode or whatever other mode you have with the next tank of fuel, and you know, measure how many kind of miles you're getting out of that tank. But I'm sure it's something, but I doubt it's significant enough where you're probably going to notice the difference.
I know a few years ago on my vehicle that has that, and I a little experiment, not a long time, and you're right, it did not seem to do. I guess my driving habits stayed the same. If you can, maybe it just makes people feel better when they hit that eco mode. Whatever question you may have, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, What happens if you, if anything, if you overfill oil on an oil change? Yeah, well, how can it hurt the vehicle?
Well, it can be very difficult if it's too much. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a few ounces or, you know, I don't want to give a specific amount because too much can be bad because, you know, that level, the oil level is critical to operation of the oil pump, the way the oil flows through all the different ports and areas and crevices that it has. Too much oil, you can actually start to get to a point where you can submerge more of the crankshaft that's designed to be under oil, and you can create a imbalance, I guess is probably the best word to use, within that system. So you want the oil, if it's, you know, that dipstick has a marking on, or the oil gauge on your dash will have a gauge, you know, and it'll kind of give you that level. And you want to be at the full mark. If it's a little bit below, you're probably okay. I really don't want to be any higher than that. So if you did your own oil change and it calls for 5 quarts and there's 5 or 5.5 or 6 quarts in there, you probably need to try to take some of that oil back out to get back to that recommended or that specified amount.
All right, well, let's do a little confession time now. In your illustrious career as an auto mechanic, as a technician, have you ever overfilled a car but caught yourself?
Oh, it's going to happen.
There's a lot of silence, you know, there.
well, here's the hard part is, especially these days, you know, growing up, everything took, you know, 4.5 or 5 quarts, and it took 1 of 4 oil filters, right? Well, now we probably have, I don't know, 30 or 40 different oil filters, and we obviously we have our resources online that give us the specifications, but they'll say it's 4.2 quarts of oil or 4.6 quarts of oil, and, you know, how do you measure a 0.6 versus a 0.5. So that's my point. If this is what you do, you know what I'm talking about, where you're trying to get down to that nitty-gritty little bit amount. And obviously, our, you know, where we fill the oil, we have there's gauges that have that count up how much oil is going in there. So we get it right on. But if you don't have all that, those tools, sometimes it's difficult. So if it's just a smidget more, which you can't measure, you're probably okay. But if it's, you know, 0.5 quart or something, you need to get that back down to where the recommended or the required amount is.
Now, you must, you meaning Lloyd's and your other place too, have in storage, you know, all these, like you said, different oil filters, air filter elements, things like that, these various parts. So you or your crew will, you have those computers that find out specifically what that particular vehicle that they're working on, what that needs. I mean, so you, what kind of air, not brand-wise, but you, I assume Lloyd's uses pretty good stuff, like oil filters specifically.
Well, yeah, we're very particular, and this goes back to with Dan also, as you know. You don't always have to buy the shiny new whatever it's called, but we always use brand specific. We want quality. We don't use any second line stuff or some aftermarket stuff, but we don't want to use things that weren't designed for the vehicle. Even if it says it meets a certain specification, you know, if it's tires or batteries or oil, we're very cautious on using something that we wouldn't use ourselves. So, you know, the truth is some of these things might cost a little bit more. You know, it's a few dollars, but when you're looking at these vehicles and, you know, the cost of repairs you mentioned earlier, you know, people spend thousands of dollars to fix their vehicle. I think it's in our responsibility to make sure we're putting the car as best as possible back to the way it came with those quality parts or quality fluids, you know, because as the end user, you may or may not know the difference between one filter to the next, but we do because it's what we do all day long, and we want to make sure we're using the best possible parts that we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell you what, I was going to break, but you know what? I don't want to leave callers hanging on the line. Let's grab a phone call. Tony calling from Minneapolis, I do believe. Tony, what is your question for Nick?
Yeah, I have a question about cabin filters for the car. Should we be changing them more frequently because of all this bad air we're getting here?
Well, that's a good question.
It is a great question. I don't know if we need to do it more frequently. You know, the cabin filter is kind of like the furnace filter at your house, you know, and, you know, they say you should do it as a certain interval, a certain amount of time, and we all forget, and then we pull it out and look at it, and it's almost amazing what they collect. But I guess it's fair to say, you know, there's a specification or a maintenance interval that they recommend them. It's probably every 3 years. I guess if you went and did one a little bit sooner, it's not going to hurt anything. The filters themselves aren't horribly expensive. You know, sometimes they can be a little difficult to access, removal of a panel, the glove box and such. But, you know, especially if you're noticing something different, like once the air clears out, once we get into the fall and the fires up in Canada kind of dissipate, I guess it's fair to say probably wouldn't be the worst idea, but I'm not sure physically looking at it if you're ever going to notice the difference.
Yeah. I'm gonna try that. Good question. I'm gonna check that out myself in my car. All right, Nick, hang on. We'll take this a quick break. Be right back. If you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you sooner rather than later, because our time goes by so quickly. Call Nick or text if it's easier. 651-461-9226. On this August 2nd morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CC's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock, right after the 7 o'clock news break. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we want to get a little more specific for folks that maybe need help. How do we find Lloyd's now?
Absolutely. And as we always say, you don't have to bring your car to us, but if you need some questions answered before you take it in, that's what we're here for. And you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul along Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And then finally, do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning, just ahead of Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. Looking at the text message, by the way, if you want to send your question via text, 651-461-9226, or make it a phone call if you like. Texter says you can buy a carbon cabin filter that will take smoke out, but very expensive. I found them not to be that bad, those carbon charcoal kind of. Maybe this texture is talking about something more specific. But, yeah, we're talking about the smoke in the air. Does that affect our cabin filters even more? I may check mine out later today. But thanks for that text. Now, this is interesting. My texture says, my 2002 Toyota Sienna does not have a cabin filter. Why not? Could that be true?
It's possible. You know, they weren't always as common as they are now. And I don't hold me for gospel here, but I do believe that pretty much every vehicle now has a cabin filter. But it wasn't always that way. You know, I mean, growing up, they didn't know what that was. I guess it didn't exist until the last couple decades. And I think as cars have rolled along, it's become more of a common item. And I guess the biggest thing that we see, honestly, is the debris that makes its way there. You know, the intake for your heating and air conditioning is at the base of the windshield. And with all the cottonwood and the debris from the leaves and the fall and such, will make its way through that intake area, and they kind of collect under the cabin filter. And, you know, there's some that we will change, and you'll be amazed at the amount of stuff that's collected there, which needs to be replaced. You need to have clean air filtering into the vehicle. But some of that debris will get significant enough where it actually affects the airflow, you know, a blockage there. And, you know, it's the same with your furnace filter at home. And as we're talking about it, those need to be replaced too. So since we're talking, everybody, when we get done with the radio here today, we need to go and check our furnace filters, because
right. It's
likely you haven't done it recently.
Yeah, I changed mine about 3-4 weeks ago. Mine is supposedly once a year, but I never wait that long because it gets too dirty. I was going to say, you mentioned we were talking about cabin filters, but whether it be road dust or whatever the case, but what about engine air filter elements? I mean, does this smoke affect that at all? I wouldn't think too much, but I don't know.
You know, like I said, I'm sure, you know, and there's people out there much smarter than you and I that would know better. But my opinion would be, you know, the particulates in the air, which creating the haze in the sky, and it's real, absolutely it's real, and it's probably a bigger effect on our breathing than anything, but I don't think it's really going to affect the car that much. You know, it's probably a little more sediment that might collect in there, but I don't think you'll be able to see it, and I'm not sure if it'll make a difference in the airflow, as we were mentioning, through the cabin or even the engine air filter. But like I said, come this fall when things clear up, you know, if you think you have a tension or a bit of a smell or something going on there, or a little tickle in your throat, you know, it's not horribly expensive. Replace it and see if it does the trick for you.
I know we're going to have a look at that forecast here in a minute or two, but speaking of filters, specifically cabin filters now, or even air filters, engine air filters, is it a better idea to take the original, try to find the original equipment replacement, or are there aftermarket filters, whether we're talking about cabin or engine, that will do just fine? I mean, are there still good quality aftermarket filters?
Absolutely there is. And, you know, keep in mind that, you know, the manufacturers, the cars that we drive, they don't make any of the parts. They assemble vehicles.
That's
so the companies
true.
Are making the parts can't just make the parts when they sell the vehicles. They want to have the repeat business. So they make the filters and, you know, the brakes and a lot of the components that go in within cars, you know, spark plugs, whatever you want, what you have there. It's our responsibility as the repair shops is to kind of sift through all that that noise and find that, you know, the like quality or the same brand. You know, most of these air filters, cabin filters, you'll see a brand stamped into it or a part number stamped into it. And we do the research to try to find the light quality, because we're not going to, like I said, we're not going to use a second level of quality part, because we want to put the car back to the best we can to give you the best experience with the vehicle. We spend a lot of money on these vehicles when we buy them. We want it to feel like new as long as we can make it.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break, have a look at that smoky forecast, and we'll come back and answer more car care questions either by phone or by text. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226, with any kind of a car care question you may have. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Tech. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We still have time for any kind of a car care question you might have, might be on your mind about your vehicle. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. This is really a comment here, not a question. Texter says, many years ago when changing my oil, the rubber gasket did not come off of the oil filter after I put a new filter on. It did not seal properly, and my oil ended up on the ground, and I had to redo the oil change. So, again, it's a comment, but I would imagine over the years you've heard stories like that.
No, it does happen, and over the years there's been different makes and models that sometimes that O-ring will stick to the area where that filter is mounted. And so we've learned our lessons also, and we've learned that you take the filter off, you got to look at the filter to make sure that the gasket came out. And obviously we look at that mounting surface to make sure it's clean and free of any debris before you put a new one in. But, you know, that double gasket, it has happened before. And, yes, it'll make a significant mess on the floor, but also under the hood, which requires a bit of cleaning. So if you are a do-it-yourselfer, it's a very good tip to make sure you take a look to make sure that that gasket comes down with that filter when you remove it.
As you know, I'm a believer in the oil pan plug gasket, changing that all the time. Is that usually a good idea? Does that particular washer, that gasket, should that be changed every oil change?
In some cases, yes. They'll use like a crush washer, which is intended to be one-time use.
Yeah.
It's a dollar. you know, and it's funny, the things that we will sometimes cut corners to save a dollar or two, which could create, you know, in both the oil filter and that drain plug gasket, if that leaks and you're not aware of it and you run out of oil down the highway, that engine doesn't last very long with no oil in it. So it's, you know, one of those little simple tasks. As the professionals, we know what to look for, we know what we're doing. But once again, if you do it yourselfer, and I love it, people that can have the tooling, the equipment, the know-how to work on their own vehicle, by absolute, you should do that. You know, it's your vehicle, nobody will know better than you. And if you're at the parts store buying the oil and the filter, ask for the drain plug gasket, because they have those also. Yeah. And when you're doing it, it's just as simple as moving a washer and putting another one in place before you thread that drain plug back in.
Absolutely. Just a comment, Texter says, I get cabin filters online for about $10. You sure certainly can. We've had a lot of folks interested in cabin filters, and this one says, and we talked about it, can I change my cabin filter myself and how? You know what? I bet you can find a video online. What do you think, Nick?
You absolutely can. And keep in mind, a lot of times those videos are edited to make it appear to take just a minute or two.
Yeah.
in some cases, you know, cabin filters are not the most complicated thing to do. But here's my best advice is there's a lot of plastic that you're removing. And if some of those things get cracked or broken, you end up with rattles, you have air whistling through the wrong places at the wrong spots, and that can become a bit of an annoyance. And oftentimes the replacement of those broken pieces is very costly. So the filter itself, no, it's not, in many cases, not overly complicated. But if you are going to do it, make sure you take the time and have the patience. You know, you got to crawl down on your hands and knees up under the dashboard there. And don't, if you have the temperament, but some of us are, that you know you have the stressor that you're going to get frustrated. Just stop. Let us do it, or let your shop do it. Don't create a bigger problem for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. I do believe Debbie is calling in on CCO this morning. Thanks for calling, Debbie. What is your question for Nick?
We have a 1950 Plymouth Deluxe three-speed transmission with overdrive. And the things always run really well. And now this spring we pulled it into the garage, and now it won't engage into reverse. Can you tell me what might have happened to that? It was running fine when we put it in there.
You know, at that vintage, there were things like one-way clutches, one-way bearings. There were things that engage. You know, and this is old school technology where it's awesome and amazing, but it's all hydraulic. When you're shifting the transmission, you're moving a valve within the transmission that's changing where the fluid's going to, you know, operate a different set of gears. And if you've lost reverse, I would think like a one-way clutch had given out, and so it's not allowing that particular gear to work because of the oil flow or the pressure of the fluid is not in the right places, and it's not holding properly. So finding somebody that can fix that is going to be the most difficult thing these days. You know, we don't work on, you know, that vintage vehicles much anymore, or if at all, I should say. But if you ask around, you know, you go to a car show, which is a good place to find people, and, you know, ask around, you know, find somebody with the same vintage or type of vehicle that you have, ask them if they know who or how, and get yourself a good connection that way.
Yeah, wow, that sounds like a fun car. 1950, wow. Toyota told me, a texter says, that my coolant is contaminated since it's orange instead of pink. Is this true, and how would that happen?
Not necessarily. So coolant is an interesting thing. You know, the antifreeze, you know, there's, you know, we have, I don't know, 8 or 10 different coolants to try to have the right fitment. But there's also global stuff that meets the specifications, all the requirements by certain manufacturers. And we have that also, because if you're topping up a particular fluid, using the global stuff is just fine. Once again, we are pretty particular if we're doing a complete, you know, replacement of a water pump or radiator. We like to use what came in the vehicle. And, you know, we try to do that the best we can. The dye or the coloring sometimes might have a different tint. You know, if there's a contamination, like there's oil in the coolant that's discolored, yes, that's a problem. But the color alone is not the measure of whether it's good or bad.
Oh, good. Good to know. I think, Nick, we have time for maybe one more text before we say goodbye. How does one determine what grade of tires to buy besides replacing tires with the appropriate size? There are so many types of tires and many prices, and it's hard to know which tire or tires to replace the original ones with.
You know, that's another great question. And quickly, it kind of goes along with when I started at the shop, we had tires in stock. You know, we had two racks of them. We'd push them out of the bay and put them on the drive in the morning and put them back at night. And we had 16 tires that probably fit half of the vehicles on the road, honestly. Now, speed rating, the sizes, the summer tires, winter tires, there's hundreds and hundreds of options. And this is where I tell the texter, the listener there, you know, when you're going to replace your tires, and this I mean 100%, the biggest thing you can do to your vehicle to make it feel like new again are tires. And so when you're looking at the price points and there's 100 different versions or prices, talk to the professional. If it's a few dollars extra to buy something of better quality, I would probably stress that do that, because you're going to notice that when you're going down the road. Obviously, it's the end of a life. It's a kid's car. Maybe you can save a few dollars and don't have to buy the very latest and greatest. But if it's for yourself, it's the first set of replacement tires. What came on the vehicle? Oftentimes, if you liked how the car drove with what came on it, put the same ones back on. Maybe there's an option for maybe a little longer mileage or certain different traction style or type, but tires are the one thing that you definitely get your bang for your buck. So be careful in the research. Ask the professionals for some advice.
Yeah, and boy, does it make a difference in feel immediately. You are right. All right, just a comment here, and then we have to scoot. If you do the cabin filter yourself, texter says be sure that no debris goes down into the fan area, or you will have to do a little vacuuming there. So thanks for that tip. Nick, again, how do we find Lloyd's Automotive?
Yes, sir. So, first off, questions, comments, whatever you might have, you can call us 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, a yellow brick, green awnings, that's 982 Grand Avenue. And then you can find all this information and more at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. Thanks for the help, as usual. And we will join forces next Saturday.
Sounds like a date, Denny.
All right. Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Ted Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead. And that Laura's going to be in answering those lawn and garden questions next hour on a Smart Garden Show. So get those ready. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO.